ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट नंबर 36. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज हिरण्यकशिपु किंग ऑफ द डीमन्स.
तत्र प्रेत बंधुना आश्रुत्य परिदेविता आहतान बालको भूत्वा यमः स्वयं उपागतः.
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. While the queens were lamenting for the dead body of the king, the loud cries were heard even from the abode of Yamaraj. Assuming the body of a boy, Yamaraj personally approached the relatives of the dead body and advised them as follows. Purport. Sometimes the living entity is forced to give up his body and enter another one according to the judgment of Yamaraj. It is difficult, however, for the conditioned soul to enter another body unless the present dead body is annihilated through cremation or some other means. The living being has attachment for the present body and does not want to enter another one. And thus in the interim he remains a ghost. If a living being who has already left his body has been pious, Yamaraj, just to give him relief, will give him another body. Since the living being in the body of the king had some attachment to his body, he was hovering as a ghost. And therefore Yamaraj, as a special consideration, approached the lamenting relatives to instruct them personally. Yamaraj approached them as a child, because a child is not restricted but is granted admittance anywhere, even to the palace of a king. Besides this, the child was speaking philosophy. People are very much interested in hearing philosophy when it is spoken by a child. Om Agyan. So Hiranyakashipu continues to enlighten his relatives. Then he is also speaking itihas, history, and citing exactly like the other great devotees. Like this story, Narad Muni is narrating to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And this incident is cited by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. Exactly like that, Hiranyakashipu is telling, he is giving philosophy. And along with that philosophy is also speaking Purana, history. And very interestingly, Shukadev Goswami uses his word kind of sarcastically, preta bandhunam, dead body's relatives. But if you see the reality, once the body or the soul leaves the body, there is no relationship. And then Prabhupada in his transliteration, word to word meaning, he adds also that they were crying so loudly even Yamaraj could hear. That means both are disgusted with the bodily concept of life of the queens, Prabhupada and as well as Vasudev. Therefore they are adding their, the expertise with words. They are reciting the itihas, but at the same time expressing their feelings also. That is the beauty of a speaker. That is the beauty of the writer. The writer enters into the pastimes, and without obstructing the story, he expresses his feeling, as Prabhupada and Vyasadeva were doing here. Preta bandhuna. The word itihas also, Sanskrit is such an amazing language. When we say itihas, we are very interested. Wow, history. But what is itihas? Iti, thus, has, destroyed. That is the definition of word itihas. That we are interested in hearing American history, European history, the Mughal Empire, the Greek Empire. But within one word it is explained that iti hasa, it is all destroyed. The power of time is so great, it destroys everything. Unfortunately, Hiranyakashipu intellectually understands this principle in regards to the relationship of the body with the soul, but is not a practitioner of devotional service. Therefore, it is explained that to be an actual philosopher, one has to have these three principles, a devotee philosopher. The knowledge of the soul, Atma-gyan, has to be there. And along with Atma-gyan, there has to be detachment, a visible detachment from the material body. And third, trying to develop attachment to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only when these three combined things are there, then actually one is called as a philosopher. Otherwise, speaking philosophy is not a big deal, because our mind and our intelligence, basically human being is given with a lot of intelligence. Therefore, it differs from the animals. But if a man or a human being with the animalistic propensity with human intelligence creates a gruesome and very horrible combination. Being an animal, you act like an animal. You don't use your intelligence. But when a human being acts like an animal and he has the intelligence of a human being, then he creates such a corrupt culture and he actually justifies all of his animalistic propensity as progress of his life. And that's what we see in modern civilization. And therefore, when philosophy is presented with the practice of Krishna consciousness, that is very attractive. As Prabhupada explains, when the child or children, when they speak philosophy, nobody takes children very seriously, especially when they are doing something which they are not supposed to do. They are not supposed to discuss philosophy. But also, it creates an interest. Why the child is speaking? Just like one time, one devotee was telling Srila Prabhupada about one young boy. He said, Prabhupada chants every day. I said, don't take him very seriously. You know, just try to see if his father is chanting or not. Because he said, chanting is not a very easy thing. If the children are chanting, that's okay. But don't take them very seriously. But here, because they are talking philosophy, like when our congregation children were doing book distribution in Lower Parel on Gita Jayanti Day, the real aggressive, we can't ever do that. We can't even distribute with them. Because they are too much of, you know, forcing, aggressive, such enthusiasm. And one young man came and he was watching all of them. You know, they are jumping, they are going from one corner of the bridge to another corner, holding the sound system, breaking all the rules. The police could not do anything. Their table was next to our table. And sometimes they were putting the sound system right on the table of the police booth only. If we do like that, you know, we are fine. Like on Dadar, they fined our devotees. They took two of the brahmacharis to the police station and fined 516 rupees for using the sound system and making so many allegations. But when the children do it, you know, they can't, because they see these young people dressed modern, speaking fluent English, but they are, what they are doing, they are giving Krishna consciousness. So one young man came and he said, I am so amazed. He said, I am buying this book, I have no interest, I don't read philosophy, I am not so interested in spirituality, but I am buying this book just by seeing all of you so enthusiastically, you know, give this knowledge of God consciousness. He said, this is what actually all of us should be doing. This is what all these young people should be doing. He was kind of affected by the vibration of these young people. And Maharaj also came. Radhananda Maharaj came to watch, just to see, just to meet them. But he was also affected by their enthusiasm, and he was also distributing for 1.5 hours. So when the children speak Krishna conscious philosophy, it affects. It is very impressive. It is very inspiring. Therefore, Yamaraj, other than coming as Yamaraj himself, if Yamaraj comes as Yamaraj, then nobody listens to philosophy. They'll start running away because the death personified has come. But because Yamaraj came as a child, and he's going to speak the philosophy, and it was fruitful. He's speaking of the philosophy of Atmagyan, convinced the queen, and they were allowed to let the body be burned. So therefore, and as we explained, that this three principle, I wanted to speak on these three principles of attachment to Krishna, or trying to develop attachment to Krishna, and visible detachment from material body, and the knowledge which Hiranyakashipu is speaking. This combination will help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, as Gaur Gopalpur was speaking on the Gita Jayanti view, that on the principles of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita is such a brilliant book. Even as a devotees, we fail to recognize, because the reading of Bhagavad Gita in the beginning is quite difficult one. Like one boy came and he asked one of our young congregation boy. He said, I tried reading Bhagavad Gita, but I cannot understand anything. And that boy's plight was the same. Even as a devotee child, he has hardly read the Bhagavad Gita. So he came to me asking, Babuji, what can I say? He asked me, it's difficult to read. And my problem is also the same thing. I'm a devotee and I have the difficulty. I cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. But if we understand the background of Krishna's consciousness, Arjuna's consciousness, this combination of Arjuna's consciousness and Krishna's consciousness caused this Bhagavad Gita, it is not simply a philosophy. There is a background to that. Arjuna's confusion, Arjuna's bewilderment caused Krishna's compassion. It was not a philosophy coming from Krishna's intelligence. Of course, everything for Krishna is same. But this came from his heart. Seeing Arjuna's bewilderment, seeing Arjuna totally confused, Krishna spoke these words of knowledge. So there was influence of Krishna's heart. And it affected Arjuna's heart. And therefore Arjuna became again the master of his senses. And because he became master of the senses, he was willing to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Prabhupada explains, one of the greatest difficulty in this age, one of the greatest difficulty of the misery of a conditioned soul, is not willing to accept Krishna as the enjoyer. We want to enjoy by becoming detached, or you want to enjoy by becoming attached. Everything based upon our convenience. If it is convenient to be detached, it is good to you, then you are detached. If it is convenient to be attached, then you be attached. But Krishna is not speaking that philosophy to Arjuna. Arjuna said, I am willing to do what you say. Like one time Srila Prabhupada, he called Shruti Kirti Prabhu when he was his servant. They both came to Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada showed them the picture of Arjuna fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he said, it is not easy to become a devotee of Krishna. Very difficult. Just see, Krishna is telling Arjuna, kill Bhishma, your grandfather. Kill Drona, your teacher. Kill Kripacharya. Kill very dear friend Ashwatthama. He said, it is not so easy to become Krishna's devotee. He said, you go back now to your rooms. He sent them back. So he was saying that it is not so easy. Therefore, in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, brilliant story is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We were discussing this, that the cover page, from many years, the cover page of Bhagavad Gita, it is not Arjuna is hearing from Krishna. Most of the time, the cover page of Bhagavad Gita as it is Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. Sarathi. Sarathi means along with the Rathi. Arjuna is the real Rathi. Maharathi, Athirathi, Ekrathi, Ardharathi. Rathi is the main person on the chariot. Sarathi. Sarathi means he is the accompanied one. He is not so important. Therefore, Sarathi is not considered as very important. So that picture gives the insight of Bhagavad Gita. Because when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met that South Indian Brahmin, he saw him cry reciting Bhagavad Gita wrongly. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what are you reading in the Bhagavad Gita? Why are you crying? And this Brahmana said, I don't know how to read. I read wrongly. But when I try to read on the orders of my spiritual master, when I read, I see. What do I see? I see Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna. And I'm amazed, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master of the entire creation, is doing such a menial task for his devotee. When I visualize this picture, I become so fascinated. Therefore I cry. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, saying that you have understood the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada, right in the beginning page, he gave this story by giving this picture. But we are not like that Brahman. We see that picture. That Brahman was not seeing that. He had not seen that picture. He was visualizing that picture. And Prabhupada said, the pictures are the windows to the spiritual world. We see that picture, but doesn't make anything to us. There is no emotions. People ask this question. Somebody asks, how do I know this is the authentic Bhagavad Gita? The picture itself makes it very clear. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is what authenticity of this book. So then Srila Prabhupada very kindly does the sketch inside the book. All the 700 verses are like elaborate sketch. If you can understand those sketch of Bhagavad Gita given by Srila Prabhupada, then you come back to the original page. Then that picture of Krishna riding the chariot of Arjuna makes it very clear, the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. That one has to become a devotee of Krishna. There is no question of not becoming a devotee of Krishna after reading Bhagavad Gita. If you don't reach the same conclusion as Arjun reached, then you never read Bhagavad Gita. Like Prabhupada visited this Gita conference in Wardha. When he came there, what did he see? There was a big lamp. No Krishna, no Arjun, no such picture. And Prabhupada said, where is the picture of Krishna? He is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. And the organizer, one of the organizers said, we are not interested in who spoke Bhagavad Gita. We are only interested in the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna, Prabhupada said, that is Maya. You want the energy of the Lord, but not the energetic. That is Rakshasi Pravritti. That you want the knowledge of Krishna, but not Krishna himself. But the conclusion of that knowledge is Krishna. Vedanta. What is that verse? Vedaishcha sarver aham eva vedyo. If you don't want that means you are demonic. It is like taking all the resources of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shakti, but you don't want Shaktiman. So Prabhupada immediately rejected. Because if you read Bhagavad Gita, your conclusion has to be that you are a devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, you have not read Bhagavad Gita. But to reach that conclusion, like one German philosopher, Suhotra Maharaj, quoted this in his one article, that when you read Bhagavad Gita, one German scholar, when he read the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 14th verse, 2.13 is knowledge. Krishna speaks briefly to Arjuna that you are not this body, you are spirit soul. The soul continuously passes from one body to another body. That is the knowledge. Now how do you apply that knowledge? In between this 2.13 to 2.14, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds the feelings of Arjuna. Again, he says, I agree. I am not this body. I am the spirit soul. But what about my relationship with Bhishma? What about my relationship with Dronacharya? How can I kill them and destroy my relationship? It is not possible. The knowledge is there that they are not their bodies. I am not my body. But if I shoot arrows at them, I am going to kill them. So where will that relationship remain? That relationship will be destroyed because of this battle. Then Krishna speaks 2.14. What does he say? The knowledge is that you are not this material body. But 2.14 is the application of that knowledge. The Lord says very clearly that you have to learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. And this is the key verse of Bhagavad Gita. Unless we have the key, to Bhagavad Gita. And this verse, you cannot open the lock of Bhagavad Gita, the treasure house of Bhagavad Gita. The treasure house of Bhagavad Gita, which consists, the treasure is, so many verses are there. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, sarva dharman parityajya, machita madgata prana. The very beautiful verses. But they don't make any sense unless we practice 2.14. That is the key verse. And therefore this German scholar said that when you read Bhagavad Gita, this verse 2.14, you understand that you have to see from inside out, not outside in. Bhagavad Gita teaches you not to change, but rather to change your perceptions. And this is the verse 2.14. Before even going to other parts of the verses, this person understood, you have to practice 2.14. And that is what Krishna is saying. That is the difference between Krishna and any other gods or any other God-man. When you go to them, when you approach them, they sympathize with you and they give solutions saying that we will solve this problem. If you have troubles in your family life, you have troubles in your own life, if you have troubles with this, we will adjust your problem. We will change it. We will rectify it. We have the magic. But Krishna makes it very clear. Even though Krishna had the magic to change, he is the Yogeshwar, he did not offer that to Arjun. He said, learn to tolerate without being disturbed. If you don't learn to tolerate without being disturbed, then simply changing the situation will not work. Like, you know, Radhananda Maharaj was mentioning that when you become the master of your senses, when you develop inner substance, then you are controlling the surrounding, the external surrounding. If you have no inner substance, then you become slave of your surrounding. And naturally, while living in this world, there are so many things which cause obstruction to our progress, either material progress or spiritual progress. They are unavoidable. One cannot avoid them. Even as a devotee, relating with other devotees, you know, we have to use this verse 2.14. Therefore, Brahmaji's prayer, Srila Prabhupada quoted most of the time, Tattenu Kampasu Sumikshamana. And Prabhupada writes also in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that waiting for the mercy of the Lord. How do you wait for the mercy of the Lord? By tolerating. Tolerating all the difficulties which are there in your life. The unfortunate situation in this age of Kali, of course it was there before also. Just see, Hiranyakashipu knows Atmagyan. He knows that we are not this material body, but he goes to perform tapasya to make his body eternal. That is our condition also. We may not have that kind of facilities or the power to perform austerities to make our body eternal. But something similar to what Hiranyakashipu was doing. He spoke this knowledge and now he is going to the Mandara mountains to make his material body permanent. That is such a contradiction. That you speak about Atma Gyan, Atma is eternal, but you go to the Mandara mountain just exactly contradict your own statement. Let me make this material body eternal. Just imagine, very simple logic on an intellectual platform, but on a practical platform, difficult. Living in a temporary body eternally, such an artificial combination. It's a temporary body, but you want to live eternally in this temporary body. Such a disgusting thing. Most of the people, if they actually had the facilities to live eternally, would commit suicide. That would be the next step. Yamaraj is one who takes us away from this material body. But in case if Yamaraj was not there, if the living entities are given that facilities to live a long life with the Kali Yuga effect, just imagine what would happen. Like one devotee was telling, he was visiting one village and he visited one family and the elderly woman was so disgusted with the family surrounding. The son was fighting with his wife. The son was fighting with his younger son, her younger son. It was such a pandemonium, it was a hell. And she was suffering, nobody was taking care of her. And she had broken her back, because the brothers were fighting and she went to stop them. And the brothers pushed her. And because they pushed her, she fell down. So when she saw this devotee come to her house, some other she had some rupees kept underneath her bed. She removed that money. She gave it to this devotee. And she said, please pray that I give up this material body. Let God take me immediately. I don't want to stay here. I'm disgusted with this whole affair. Let God take me away. So this devotee was telling, just see. That is actually a reality of life. We imagine that we want to live longer, but what is the reality? The reality is that this material body, the material culture, our surrounding, causes the disgust. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, unless one is disgusted with material body, he actually does not take spiritual master seriously. He does not take spiritual master seriously. Only when he is disgusted with material body, the material world, he is convinced that I don't want to be here. He may not have the spiritual culture. He may not have the understanding of Krishna consciousness. But that disgust, that this is not the place where I want to stay. I want to go to some place where there is eternal pleasure. Like when Vishnunjan Maharaj chanted that Brahma Samhita in a public place. The last verse, Shriya Kanta Kanta. When he chanted and he read the translation of that verse. And he said, who wants to go there? He asked that question. And he saw one or two people. They were fascinated. Oh, there is a place where it's completely distinct from this world. Spontaneously they raised their hands. Yes, we want to go there. And he grabbed them. And he made them a devotee. And they are sannyasi now. Preparing to go back to the spiritual world. Not wanting to stay here. By hearing first time the statement made by this devotee, who wants to go to that spiritual world? So therefore 2.14 is such a powerful verse. Because the natural tendency of living in it is to escape. The original escape was from the spiritual world. We are eternally serving Krishna. Some other way escape from there. We don't know how. Prabhupada said causeless unwillingness. The cause of our coming down to this material world is because causeless unwillingness. There is no cause. It is stupidity. Even if you have the right reason, that right reason is a wrong reason. Because it doesn't make any sense. From Krishna's point of view, from the point of view of the eternal associates of the Lord in the spiritual world. So we are here, we escape from the Lord. And the tendency to escape is always there. If something goes wrong in our life, break up. Breaking up means what? Escape. Avoid. Change. Change the temple. No, change. Sometimes people change their spiritual master thinking that, oh, he is a better spiritual master. Again, another gross stupidity. We can get inspiration from everybody, but you can't keep looking around. Oh, this one, that one. Keep changing temple to temple. Keep changing husband, wives. You can't change. Of course, somebody said, you have no choice, who are your parents? Sometimes even some young people make this statement, mere ko janm kyun diya aapne? Why did you give me birth? When they have fights with their parents, make this statement. Hoping that they could have avoided this kind of parents. Escape. So the tendency is to escape. But Krishna says you can't escape. What was Arjuna's solution for not fighting the battlefield, not facing the battle? Just see, for a Kshatriya, the whole battle was fought with one reason. Duryodhan was willing to give them charity. Bhik mango, I will give you. But if you ask your claim as a rightful proprietor, that will not be given. Kshatriyas are real strange people. Like Duryodhan doesn't want to give their claim. He said, no, you are not proprietor, I am proprietor. If you ask charity from me, I will give. Like, we can see that in the middle of the battle, when Krishna told Arjuna, look, Bhishma has taken a vow to finish all five of you before sunset tomorrow. And he has these five special arrows. And Duryodhan, being very shrewd, he doesn't want those five arrows to be with Bhishma, hoping or fearing that Bhishma might give those arrows to Krishna and Arjuna. So Duryodhana has those 5 arrows. So let us go to Duryodhana's camp, because at one point when Arjuna had saved Duryodhana from the Gandharvas tied Duryodhana, they brought him to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Just imagine, Duryodhana came to ridicule the Pandavas and now he's on their mercy. And only if Yudhishthira Maharaj releases, then the Gandharva will release him. It was such a painful experience. But he was a Kshatriya. Duryodhana said, I don't want any favor from you. Now you're releasing me, but mind you, whenever you need anything from me, I will give you. But I don't want to stay with that debt. So that was the condition. So Krishna said, you go. And you ask 5 arrows. So when Arjuna, after the battle was over, Arjuna came there. And Duryodhana was figuring out so many things. He was thinking the Pandavas are too good. So what we will do? We will catch, while the battle is going, he wanted to catch Yudhishthira Maharaj and again invite him for a gambling match. So that he can lose, so there is no more war. Again the Pandavas go to the forest. That was his plan. But now, when Arjuna came to Duryodhana, what did Duryodhana say? What do you want? You want the kingdom? I am willing to offer you. Why? Because he has come as what? A beggar. When a Kshatriya sees someone begging from him, that is his greatest pride. That he has, somebody has extended their hands to me and I want to give them charity. When Bali Maharaj, when he saw Vamandev come to his place, and Shukracharya told, hey, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, what? The husband of Goddess of Fortune has come to beg from me? That is my good fortune. That increases pride of being a Kshatriya. He said, I will offer anything to him because he has come to beg from me. So Duryodhana was willing to offer these 5 arrows to Arjun. And when Arjun asked, he said, take it. Take these 5 arrows. Just see. That is Duryodhana. He was willing to offer those 5 arrows to Arjuna. He gave those 5 arrows. And Arjuna brought those 5 arrows. And next morning Bhishma was told by Duryodhana that those 5 arrows have gone. And Bhishma smiled. He said, this is all the doings of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what was the point? Huh? Why did it? Huh? Yeah, the escape. So Arjuna, you know, he hated begging. He didn't want to beg. The Pandavas said, that is our rightful claim. We will become the kings. But what is the escape route? When he couldn't face his grandfather, he is telling the Lord, I live on begging. Such a, you know, superficial reason for not to fight. He said, I can manage by begging, but I will not fight this battle. So when there is an escape route, when we try to find an escape route, the reason for escape is so substandard, has no substantial reason, but still we convince ourselves, this is the best reason, and I want to do it. And Krishna was hearing Arjun. He didn't speak anything. And Arjuna's all logic, all reasons, why he should run away, caused greater confusion. And the honesty of Arjuna, that Arjuna realized that all my arguments are not helping me. And that there is another qualification to hear Bhagavad Gita. That a living entity in this world, because of false ego, he is trying to escape, blaming the destiny. When there is a trouble, when we hear troubles, or we speak about our troubles to others, you know, we don't take both the sides. We never say, you know, 60% is my fault, 40% is their fault, 100% is their fault. I am not at all to be blamed. Such an injustice is done upon me. You know, we are convinced, the false ego convinces us that you are not to be blamed. People misunderstood you. And when the other party gives the judgment, no, you are wrong, and that hurts. You know, he's against me. He's also siding. He's also siding that party. So escape. I don't want his authority. But the Arjuna's condition was, after speaking all that argument, till then Krishna was simply hearing. Krishna did not speak anything. Krishna is such a master that does not interfere with the independence of the living entity. Only when Arjuna said, then my dear Lord, I am confused. I am totally confused. Therefore, become my spiritual master. Become my teacher. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, Krishna told, go to Vyasdev. I can't be your teacher, I'm your friend. How can you take my word seriously? You can't take my word seriously. You go to Vyasdev. Krishna, Arjuna said, Vyasdev, Parashar Muni, no munis can help me. Then Krishna said, okay, fight the battle, become the king of the entire world, that will give satisfaction. He said, Api Trailokya Rajasam, what to speak of wealth of this world, even if I have the wealth of Indra, Kubera and others, I will not be satisfied. What I need is Atmagyan. What I need is solace from you. What I need is compassion from you. Therefore, you speak. And then Krishna started speaking to Arjuna. And because Arjuna was honest enough to accept that I don't know anything, I am confused with whatever I know, my knowledge is causing me greater confusion, I do not want to escape. I don't want to go to the forest to beg. I don't want to avoid the battle, but I want to hear from you why I should do my duties. And then Krishna spoke first verse that you are not this body, and the second verse you have to learn to tolerate. And that is the most difficult verse to practice. One may chant 16 rounds superficially Hare Krishna mantra while changing his situations from one place to another place, one holy place to another holy place, one temple to another temple, without proper guidance of a devotee. Yeah, the facility is there to change with the guidance of a devotee. But when we take our own decision in our life and keep moving from one place to another place, hoping that actually this will solve the problem, hoping that from material world let me go to the heavenly, from the earthly planet let me go to the heavenly planets, from there let me go to Siddha Loka, let me go to Brahma Loka, let me go to Tapa Loka. Even if we go to 14 planetary systems moving here and there, unless we practice this verse. Why this verse? Without this verse, it is the change from the outside. With this verse, the change from the inside. When the change from the inside comes, that learn to tolerate without being disturbed. Such a powerful verse. That is the key verse. And Prabhupada gives very simple practical purport, which most people don't follow now. Like where Gaur Goindra was saying, when he was working in Singapore, you know, when he was carrying some grocery for cooking, and one couple were coming down, they are seeing a young man carrying a grocery to his apartment, and the couple was going out. They are quite surprised. What is this? You're cooking? Because we have so many hotels to go and eat. That is the culture. That, and Prabhupada talks about that. Even if it is hot summer, the women in the house will cook. Hot summer, what? Even the winter people don't cook now. And then he talks about the sadhus and men. Even if it is Magh month, the Magh month, what does it do? In the month of Magh, it is extremely cold. Like Prabhupada was in Kumbh Mela. And he saw most devotees were taking hot bath in their sleeping bag. They would not come for Mangal Arati. And Prabhupada saw them. And then he came out. And he took his bath. You know, there is no bathroom in the Kumbh Mela. For men, it's like an open place. The tap water is there. Extremely cold. To take your bath, you have to remove your warm clothes. And that itself is an austerity. And then water coming on your body. That's a greater austerity. 75 years old. Body shaking. Because the body has to go through the, you know, different transformation. And Prabhupada was taking cold water bath. You can imagine when he did that, all the sleeping bag, all the devotees sleeping, they jumped like a spring. They came running down to take bath. And Prabhupada quotes that it is unavoidable. One has to take bath in the month of Magh, and one has to cook in the summer season. Such a practical. So similarly, in all other situations also, we can't avoid. Avoiding is no solution. Avoiding is simply adding more to our karma. Avoiding is simply adding more to our karma and keeping our false ego as it is. And because Arjuna followed his instruction, he didn't get down off the chariot. Even though his mind was saying, his intelligence was saying, his senses were saying, because he was not able to hold the Gandhi Babu, his hands were shaking. He sat down on the chariot. He said, I cannot fight. But because he heard from Krishna, he became master of his senses. And what Krishna did? The chariot was still there right in front of Bhishma. The chariot was right in front of Dronacharya. Arjuna was still in the chariot. But internally Krishna, he changed the perception of Arjuna. Arjuna was the changed person. And because Arjuna was a changed person, he could face the battle. And he realized that there are certain unavoidable circumstances. When his son died, Abhimanyu, he said, hell with the dharma of a kshatriya. He has to face all this stuff. But he did not escape. On the other hand, Dronacharya ran away from the battle. Simply by hearing, the news was not true. What was it? Your son is dead. He knew that his son was Chiranjeev. It was a historical fact. Even we know that Ashwatthama is Chiranjeev. So naturally, that time it was a fresh news. Everywhere it was fresh that Ashwatthama is Chiranjeev. But still when he heard that Ashwatthama is dead, bodily concept of life was so strong, he said, I am not going to fight. He gave up. He escaped. He stopped fighting. Of course, the demigods were also forcing him. But on the other hand, Arjuna had a greater attachment to his son because he was a nice son. When he heard his news of his death, he condemned the dharma of a kshatriya, but he did not give up the kshatriya dharma. He fought the battle. He continued to fight. And they went through so much of difficulty. And then they became master of the senses. Therefore, in the first canto of the Bhagavad, when Arjuna remembered the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva explains that all the trashes in the heart of Arjuna dispelled. He became master of his senses. And he remembered everything, the instruction given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, our prayers should be like one time Shamanpu asked this question to Maharaj. Our prayers are that when good times are there, reading Shastra is such a, it's a sense gratification, it's a luxury. Enjoying the pastimes with added commentaries of the acharyas. Very relishing to the intelligence. Very relishing to the senses. But actually when we read the Shastra, we read the Shastra for what? Preparing. It's a credit balance within our system. Stocking all that within our system so that when we go through the situation which will come, which keeps coming, then we bring out this stock, the Shastra knowledge. How to see through the eyes of scriptures. Oh, this is the situation I am facing and I have been thoroughly destroyed with my false ego by another devotee, my superiors, my equals, my juniors. How do I do it now? I don't take my decisions. Let me see through the eyes of the scripture. So Maharaj is saying, then your reading of the Shastras will help you in your trying circumstance, if you have read the Shastra properly. Therefore, in the association of devotees, what do we do? Machitta madgada prana. And then association of devotees is not so easy. Again, Shilak, I was listening to Prabhupada's lecture yesterday. He said, becoming devotee of Krishna is very risky business. He is talking in 1966 to the Western crowd, making it very clear. Not giving them some, material understanding. He said, very risky business. He said, just see, Prahlad became Krishna's devotee. So much of trouble. So much of trouble. He was about to be killed by his father. He said, it's a very risky business to become a devotee of Krishna. So when we associate with devotees, there are some false egos, some clashes. But if we continue to stay, and in that association, when Krishna Katha is churned, the Shastras are churned, the realizations are churned, then those realizations, what do? They give us solid conviction to face the trying circumstance and continue to practice Krishna consciousness in desperation. And that's what material world is for. Material world is there to make us desperate. To escape desperately or to become desperate to accept the mercy of the Lord by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And therefore that Brahmana, as Gaur Gopalpa was mentioning, what was his qualification? How did he see Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna? Because when he was reading the Shastra, everyone was ridiculing him. Everybody was ridiculing. But he said, no, it is my Guru's instruction, I need to read. He didn't escape. And he continued to read. Hoping that he will please his spiritual master. He didn't even expect Lord Krishna to come there and bless him. It is one thing the sadhus perform tapasya, hoping that one day I can see the Lord face to face. Even that expectations were not there. Nowhere in Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned. But he was expecting to please his spiritual master. He was only trying to fulfill the instructions of the spiritual master, but there was a bonus. And such a bonus. What was the bonus? The bonus was he saw Krishna in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got the approval of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his reading Bhagavad Gita. He got the sanction or the sayings from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that your reading of Bhagavad Gita is the best reading of Bhagavad Gita. And above and over all of that, he got the loving embrace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave six benediction Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him. Why? Because he did not escape. Very difficult. And I'm just speaking because we were discussing this verse is the most difficult to practice. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, artificially we can do. We had one devotee. He would put a sticker. He's still there. He would put a sticker and walk around. Don't talk unless he serves Krishna. Everyone would see that. Oh, he would put, it's like an identity card. Don't speak unless you are supposed to serve Krishna. One can chant 64 rounds. One can try to chant 194 rounds. One can chant 16 rounds, recite Bhagavad Gita, do everything. But to follow this verse, the 2.14, and then practice devotional service. And that devotional service has such a substance, then we can actually see the picture what Prabhupada has given. And seeing from a Dadar station, Nityananda holding it, the blown up Bhagavad Gita poster can bring tears from our eyes. Oh, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the gods, the Lord of entire creation, is doing such a menial task. Driving the chariot of Arjuna. And then the rest, everything will automatically will be revealed to us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your nice class. You were discussing this particular point about escaping and 2.14 where Srila Prabhupada in the purport talks about how a woman in the month of summer, she has to cook in a kitchen and in winter months we have to take a cold water bath. But sometimes we see that devotees, although they understand this philosophy, but then when they are given some facilities, at that time they give a justification that Krishna has given us this facility so that we can use it in his service. Like for example, like if a person has a car, and then sometimes you tell that person that, yes, although you have a car, you should understand the austerity of traveling by bus or by train. And that person puts forward a justification that you have a car. Why should we travel by train? I mean, Krishna has given us this facility. So in such a situation, how does one understand? Are we supposed to do austerity? Because we know austerity will please Krishna. Right? But are we supposed to do that austerity just for the sake of doing the austerity? Or can we take shelter of understanding that this is a facility that is given to us by Krishna and justifying? You know, we give so many justifications that if I use this particular facility, then I am fresh for doing other services for Krishna and so on and so forth.
Best is to express our weakness. I think I can't handle the train traveling. I need a car. I'm an attached person. That is better, so that other devotee also knows our weakness. Rather than justifying, it's important, it's urgent, and I need to use it. Therefore, we have Radha Gopinath. I'll continue to glorify. Every week he travels to Mira Road. Of course, there are many devotees who travel every day. But he was offered facilities. We'll give you a first class ticket. Madhavananda Prabhu was saying, you know, you're old. And he catches 6:24 or 6:27 train. Crowded train. Last 15 years he's doing almost. Every week. He is the personification of consistency. Going every week, you know, the temple president, but never fell into that temptation. And that example is very inspiring to see that someone who is so old, he's 45, he's a temple president, and the other party is willing to offer. And they are giving all the justification. He doesn't have to give the justification. And that is inspiration. So ultimately, preaching is for inspiring others. So our preaching, if it is not inspiring others, there is no point. I remember one time Maharaj was telling, he told, I prefer going by train, but because of my asthma, which is a genuine. He said, if I go by train, then the asthma attack will cause real difficulty for me to. He said, I'm not, you know, wanting to use this facility. So therefore, you know, better to say our weakness rather than saying, you know, that. And that's what Hiranyakashipu, you know, justifying, saying because my brother was killed, therefore I am going to do. But a real devotee of the Lord, he just speaks his weakness. And that's again, our false ego is so strong. We have to convince ourselves, because we can't convince ourselves. We lack that humility also. And therefore the mind gives so many excuses. Oh, this is what you need to use for justification. And that is the wrong thing. Justifying. As I said, animals are animals. They live animalistic life. But when a human being lives animalistic life, using his human intelligence and justifying his animalistic life, saying that this is real life, then he becomes a horrible creature. Like one devotee went with his wife to distribute books in a big meeting, IIT meeting, you know, hoping that they will get to distribute. He said he's a Bombayite and comes from the modern culture, going to the college. He said he was horrified to be there. You know, young people, girls, boys, losing total there. It was, he said, it didn't sound like India. I don't think it was sounding Western also. More degraded than both. Because I was telling some of our boys, you know, we have our London devotees. They live in London. They are British. They are London people. They live the culture of London. But there is no imagination about the pleasure. They are living because they are from there. There is no anticipation. There is no hyped up. But when the Bombay boy live like a Bombay boy girl live like a British, they are also greater imagination. So there is an added imagination to their Western lifestyle. So therefore they are the worst. They are most degraded. Therefore when we say Western culture doesn't mean that in the Western world. Western culture means, you know, where Indians imagining, wow, what a pleasure, what a life it is, dreaming. They have no other choice. Like Maharaj gave the first prerana lecture, not prerana lecture, when they formed the IYF, officially declared IYF establishment, he gave that lecture and he said the old crow and new crow, Prabhupada's example. The old crows eating garbage because they have no other choice. They are eating it. But the new crow, first is imagination. They are eating garbage, but they are making garbage into something wonderful in their mind. And therefore there is a greater enthusiasm. So therefore we require a king, a kshatriya king. Simply knowledge will not work. They need laws also. So in the combination of law and love will only change the present civilization. And we can't take laws in our hands because we are not, you know, political people. But those who have the power, plus they need to have the philosophy. These two combination will change. The degradation what we see, you know, just some devotees are distributing books in Andheri station. No, Dadar is little milder. People, you know, less sophisticated. Andhari station, you ask our BT boys, they are so exhausted mentally, more than the physical exhaustion. Such a corrupt culture. The Gita is there, the Shastra is there. Like Prabhupada said, when we take over the government, he said, when we take over the government, Giriraj Maharaj told his story. When we take over the government, we'll have Bhagavad Gita in one hand, and that is Shastra, and Shastra in another hand, weapon in another hand. Take this, or else take this one. He asked Giriraj Maharaj, what do you think, Giriraj? So Giriraj Maharaj did not answer. And Prabhupada said, Giriraj is very timid. But otherwise, that is, we need forceful discipline also. Otherwise, if everything is spontaneous, where is the question of sadhana bhakti? Sadhana bhakti means forced discipline. When there is a forced discipline, then we are out of fear. That is the beginning of love of God. Otherwise, there is no limit to justification. No limit. I was talking to Braj Bihari Prabhu during this marathon. You know, we said, okay, we'll distribute from 5 o'clock till late in the night. And this is the conditional habit of many of the brahmacharis because they used to live in the hostel. Sleep anytime, get up anytime. So now you have a good excuse also, marathon. So sometimes you have the facilities to attend morning program, Mangal Arati. Just because this excuse is there, attendance is not so taken seriously now for 1 month. You know, we use the attendances to break the rule. Because the justification is there. You don't have to feel guilty also. Like one time we were going for Harinam, 31st December, in the Chaupati beach. And it was night time. After all the program was over, lecture was over, we went to Harinam. And all of us, we were breaking all the traffic rules. And I was thinking, this is our tendency. We want to do it, but alone we can't do because the police is standing. But now we have a big group and we have a good reason, ecstasy. Huh? We are in ecstasy. But actually what it is a mundane reason to break the law. That it is. That is it. So therefore, justification is the worst kind of sin. To be a sinful is bad. But at least to accept I'm a sinful, the help will be given to us. But to justify our sin as transcendental activity is a very dangerous. It's a very dangerous sin. And this has happened with many, you know, situations where people have justified. Oh, we have read in, you know, to such an extent, like one time one devotee had a trouble. Then he gave the example. Another devotee was giving us the example. Just see Parashar Muni, how he procreated. Vyasdev was procreated right in the middle of the river with Satyavati. No, that's how Vyasdev came. So if this devotee does like this, you know, should understand that is a transcendental activity. So there is no limit what you can justify. But if we accept this is, you know, is our weakness, and I need it. That honesty is very, very beautiful. And then devotees are not, you know, heavy in regards to giving that facility. Better to accept the weakness. Yes, we are weak. We cannot do it. But justification, that is the worst thing we could ever do. And that's what we have to pray to Krishna. That when we are in our trying situation, which we will be all the time, many times. Some are very simple one. Some are most difficult one, will I justify? And how will I not justify if I take assistance of a devotee? Like Shyamal Prabhu gave a very brilliant example. He said, I am preaching to you. He was telling one devotee, because you are in difficulty. He said, same knowledge will not come to my aid when I am in difficulty. From my own understanding, I had to hear from another devotee. You may have to speak the same thing to me to remind. Sometime we have seen, you know, devotees put a letter in their locker. When I'm in troubled situation, read this lecture. Few lectures they put. But actually when they are in the difficulty, tear that paper only. Let me not hear that. Like Maharaj is mentioning, just too heavy. Like one devotee had a trouble and he came to Maharaj's lecture. It was about 3 years back. Maharaj gave a normal lecture as he gives regularly. Profound lecture. And after the lecture was over, he said, that was too heavy. He said, I can't digest this. And next for, at least for 1 year, he couldn't take the instructions. Because he felt it was too much. So therefore, we have to pray to Krishna more than praying for ecstasy, more than praying for love, because that's, you know, it's not our expectation. Like that Brahmana never expected Krishna to come. It should not be our expectation also. Our expectation is that Krishna, give me strength so that I don't justify my wrongdoings. Because that is the biggest cause of confusion amongst devotees. Justifying our wrongdoings. Just accept that, yes, this is my fault. And that is so difficult.
Eventually, in order to please Krishna and the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master, do we have to work on that weakness? I mean, one is the justification aspect to, you know, which we should not do. But like Srila Prabhupada gave in his own example, you know, taking bath during the Kumbh Mela. But it was up to the disciples whether they want to follow Srila Prabhupada in that respect or not. So is it necessary for us to work on the weakness in order to please Krishna?
Yes, of course. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, some anarthas are automatically destroyed by simply practicing the process of Krishna consciousness. And if some anarthas, to prove Krishna that I am putting my efforts. He says a practicing devotee has to actually work on, you know, to overcome the weakness. Just like somebody has the habit of putting their fingers in the nose all the time. No, in public also. No. And then it's unclean. You don't expect by chanting 16 rounds you'll overcome that habit. You have to actually make an attempt asking devotees to remind you that, Prabhuji, remind me that I should not be putting my finger in the nose. When I do it, please you can pull my hand. So it has no connection with chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra. So this is an anartha, it's a physical anartha. So there are mental anarthas which actually require our efforts. A devotee needs to remind us that don't do it. Otherwise they will not automatically disappear. Hoping Krishna, you know, I keep putting my nose and you hold my finger. No, it's not Krishna's business. It is our business. So there are some anarthas, gross anarthas, which we need our own efforts to overcome them. Otherwise, you know, they will not. So that is the Hare Krishna. Krishna Prabhu. I should be asking a question to you.
No. Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhuji. Among the three points that you mentioned, one of the points was, I think, visible detachment, you know, that should be practiced. Visible detachment from physical things. What exactly is this concept, visible detachment? Detachment, yes, but why should it be visible? What are they?
In the sadhana bhakti, you know, sadhana bhakti is performed with our senses. The knowledge acquiring senses and the working senses. Therefore, sadhana bhakti is very visible. We offer obeisances. You chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. You count also 16 rounds. So, sadhaka is aware of his sadhana in the form of counting. Attending Mangal Arati is a count. Attending, putting your attendance in the list, that is a count. Chanting your 16th round, there is a Sakshimala. So that means there is a count. So it is visible. So similarly, as we become older in devotional life, I don't say advanced. Simply advancement doesn't come because we are there for many years. So when we are becoming old in spiritual life, growing physically, are we taking more responsibility? For a brahmachari, it is you know, greater responsibility in regards to preaching and spending time properly. And then for the grihasthas, how much they are putting their service to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Minimizing the family connection. If he is not minimizing the family connection, affection is a different thing. Now that can never be asked to detach. And that is not right also. That affection has to be there. Otherwise there is something wrong. If someone doesn't have that, like I like that story once, Sri Vaishnava told his story, that one man came to this Sri Vaishnava sannyasi, saying that I want to take sannyas. And he said, why? He said, because my wife is dead, I have no more obligations. And he said, more than that, when my wife was dead, I didn't cry. I was totally detached. And the Swamiji said, you go and get remarried. And he said, express some emotions. He said, express some emotions, because sannyas is all about crying for the living entity suffering and crying for expecting the mercy of the Lord. If you have not learned that art, he said, I don't think you will make a good sannyasi. Such a brilliant story. He said, you go and cry. Develop that affection. So that affection, the difference between being entangled and showing affection, they are two different things. Being entangled means that I am the controller. I am still the controller, and without my interference, nothing will work. But when we interfere in the family affairs, that causes greater conflict amongst the youngsters who are taking the responsibility. Showing affection is a different thing. That you are able to spend more time preaching Krishna consciousness, you are able to spend more time worshipping your deities, you are able to spend more time relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, relishing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you have physical energy, you are taking visible responsibility in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. That is visible detachment. So therefore, it's very clear. Like one devotee recently went and expressed his feelings about taking more and more responsibility in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. He went and explained to Maharaj. Again, as we discussed, the spiritual master follows, you know, the same line of Krishna. Preach and be detached. He is not the monitor of our life. Monitoring. Abhi ek ghanta kya kiya? What did you do? That monitoring will never work. The spontaneous inspiration. A spiritual teacher is the one who teaches and prays to Krishna, engage these people in your service with their own spontaneous desire. A guru is not a monitor. And we should never monitor anybody's life. Unless they are your own relatives, your family, and that too only when they are young. When they grow up, you know, no monitoring. So therefore, when that inspiration is there, when on his own this devotee came and told what is his plan for next 5 years, what is he planning? And what is his plan after 5 years? When he expressed his plan of increasing his service to Krishna, increasing his service to his spiritual master, increasing his service to the temple, you know, that was real, visible pleasure experienced. He was telling me, he said, Maharaj became very happy. He's happy all the time, but one happiness is to encourage us. But this happiness is actually encouraging him. We only expect that a guru should encourage us, but we fail to recognize we also have to encourage him. And how do you encourage him? You don't tell him, you don't need to tell him. You know, you are doing good progress. You know? We encourage the spiritual master by becoming more and more surrendered. That is how we encourage the spiritual master. Otherwise, it's all discouraging. And all the blood and sweat poured upon encouraging, being nice to devotees, and there is no reciprocation in the form of encouraging back by accepting more and more responsibility. And it was very encouraging this month, you know, the whole month of marathon. Everyone was so amazing. You know, Maharaj said, it couldn't make me stay in the room. Yesterday also went for book distribution. You know, distributing for long hours, seeing how men, women, children, you know, so enthusiastically distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. He was happy. He said, thank you for taking part in praising Srila Prabhupada. Which was what? Just imagine how much Prabhupada must be pleased. So it is not a monthly affair. Devotional service is not only December marathon. Devotional service is 12 months. And especially those who are already done with material life. Established everything. There is limitless service in the temple. We need people for the guest department. Hundreds of people come. Sankirtan Prabhu has become lean and thin because he has no people. He needs people to take care. People, and we need receptionists. So many nice receptionists we need to invite devotees in the temple. We need Krishnam Prabhu's assistants to help him. So there is no limit for service. 2 hours, 1 hour. And as a manager also I am requesting devotees to increase their service. And then preachers, there is no limit. There is no limit for how much preachers we want. So that visible detachment, without cancelling the affection, these two combination will what make us, like yesterday Sahadeva Prabhu's glorification. One may say from a Vedic point of view, what are you doing with 50 years married life? This question may come. From a Vedic point of view, when you are 50-year-old, you are out. But then amount of service, again Prabhupada confirms in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said in Kali Yuga there is no need of sannyas. A grihastha doesn't need to take sannyas. If he is worshipping the deities, if he is preaching, he said that is a kshetra sannyas. So worshipping his deities. And in Kali Yuga, 50 years staying together, I told one devotee, he said, how can one handle that? Staying 50 years. People can't handle 50 days nowadays. It's a great achievement to stay 50 years. And there are many reasons to separate. It is not like lottery ticket unko mil gaya, no. It was an efforts. Like Bhurijan Prabhu, I was telling him, I said, Prabhuji, you speak together so nicely. The combined force between him and his wife, Jagat Tarini Mataji, when they came here, spoke so brilliantly. He was speaking and she was speaking equally good, sometime better than him. I told his son, I think sometime your mother is, sometimes she is more excellent than your father. And I said, Prabhuji, it's amazing to see such an example, especially coming from the Western world, and she was an actress, and how Prabhupada arranged their marriage. No, she went to Japan. She didn't know whom she was marrying. And she married him. And they went through a lot of troubles, she told, in the Prabhupada's disappearance day. And Prabhupada, she told that one story that she went and complained to Prabhupada about her background, her condition. Prabhupada said, I know. It was not that Prabhupada was simply giving some idealistic concept to her. He knew her completely. And she said, that's what made me. He said, this person knows me. He understands me. He understands my problems. He said, I know it. Prabhupada was empathetic. And he said, but if I give you something which works, will you not try? He said, that's how our marriage stayed. And he said, 35 years they are married, together staying. And when I congratulated, he said, 35 years was simply watering the root of the tree of married life. Now we are actually experiencing the fruit of marriage life. And his son said, too long to experience the fruit. But then actually the fruits are, you don't pull them out when they are not even fruits. Imagine, wow, this is the fruit. No, fruit takes, like you are also enjoying the fruits. Now, having such a nice son, daughter, grandchildren. So therefore, everything requires austerity. I remember I was escaping from here. Many years back, I wrote a letter to Maharaj, removed everything from my locker, whatever I had, locked it, gave a locked key to somebody, and decided, I can't handle this place. But some other I felt, Maharaj given me so much affection, I should inform him. And then I wrote, I didn't say that I'm leaving, I said, Maharaj, I'm going mad. Young, mind was going total bonkers, nasty. Then I wrote. And he wrote such a beautiful, simple, non-philosophical, little philosophy, but lot of affection he wrote. And I made that nice. I photo framed it. Not only saved me from my mistakes, kept me here, but then some other devotees also used that letter. It was a instruction, general instruction for everybody. So therefore, there is always reasons to escape. Always. Even after 20 years living, you may still find, the mind will say, you know, enough, you had enough of it this time. Stayed enough here. Why don't you do something else? Go and do something else. The mind will always give so many excuses. Because mind is never our friend. Until unless the mind is naturally attracted to the feet of Krishna. Which is not. So therefore, you know, we have to learn and take advice from devotees. Take advice from devotees. When someone says it is not my mistake, it is others' party's mistake, he's in such a precarious condition. Nobody can help. And then whatever decision he takes independently is worse than the previous problem. He's simply adding more problem to his life and going to face another deadly problem, which will cause him much greater disaster in his spiritual life. Lack of conviction in Krishna, lack of conviction in Krishna conscious philosophy, and such a, this is a 2.14. You don't have to go ahead also. Bhagavad Gita, sometimes people are stuck. They can't go beyond first chapter. Like Gaur Gopal Prabhu is doing Bhagavad Gita seminar to some nice people. First chapter was very interesting for him and for them also. Second chapter was quite good. When the third chapter came, you know, the bewilderment started. Very difficult. So not even third chapter, 2.14. First instruction of Krishna. It is already there. And if we can practice and pray Krishna, that Krishna, let me practice this verse. Let me not give justification. So that I can advance in your devotional service. I'll stop here. It is time. Devotees are going to Pune for the ceremony. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.